And we are here on Canada's birthday, July the 1st, 2009. It's Wednesday, 2:10 Hawaii time. And it's reading number 68. It's Carolyn and JW, and the topic is medicine with Ion, but we've got a click on the line. And let me just check for another second, see if it stops. Ah, it's telling me that I don't have the volume on. Ha ha! Ha ha! So, that did go in, though, because I was sitting by the computer. So we have the time frame, and we are going to welcome Ion to the reading. Welcome, Ion.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Okay, then we're just working away down the alphabetical list of conditions. Is there anything you want to say before we dive in?
Just the deliciousness of this flow, of the organization of how you want this work laid out. It's just really coming together nicely.
Oh, great. Thank you. Then we are up to lactose intolerance.
Okay. Any intolerance, whether it be lactose or anything else, is something that can come and go.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand it. They figure if they're lactose intolerant, then they're intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's just clean this up with milk products right out of the chute, right from the start.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you are born, your digestion and your processing, starting with colostrum,
mm-hmm.
from the breast and then milk from the breast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it all begins, and that's how mammals feed their young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, cows do not drink milk after they're 6 months to a year old.
Right.
Okay? Neither should people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay? Just straight out.
Mm-hmm.
You, once you're weaned off of milk, then you are weaned off of milk.
Yes.
Now, if you choose a dairy product, okay, in the form of whole milk. We like whole milk,
mm-hmm.
because if it's bad for you, have less of it if you're desiring it, because any matriculation that you're making it 1% or 0.5% or every other thing that they have to do for it just makes it less and less and less effective, so you drink twice as much of it. So,
mm-hmm.
so if that's the problem, then take and drink, if you're drinking a glass of 2% milk, then have a shot glass of heavy whipping cream.
Yeah.
That'll do you much better.
Yeah.
It'll satisfy you and not have to add all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if that becomes now a choice,
mm-hmm.
then you can live your whole entire life and never ingest lactose.
Mm-hmm.
And be fruitfully happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those that have an intolerance, that's easily adjusted from the process of the not the milk fats, but the coagulated milk solids,
mm-hmm.
that you have a terrible time in digesting, I guess is the right way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the equivalency of when you drink milk with a fever.
Mm-hmm.
It curdles immediately, and it normally comes back rather than goes the other way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Sometimes you can take medicines that help digest the lactose if you're not able to do that, but isn't that the same process of taking a pill so you can dance like a kid again?
Yes.
If you are sensitive because of your undivided attention regarding it, why not just let it go and not imbibe in it?
Right. Now you.
But isn't it interesting? I'm sorry, we're interrupting. Isn't it interesting, those that are lactose intolerant, sometimes they can eat fromage and cheeses.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a whole host of cheeses that don't have lactose in them.
And there's a whole host that are that they can eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A la brie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have a whole list of those possibilities, and yeah. It's mostly because the lactose is fermented out, or over time has
somehow it's just not there for as
well,
a milk
well,
sugar.
If they change, that's right. It's changed.
Yeah.
It's changed, and it's still lactose, but it's changed in the process of digestion has been taken on by the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Good Stilton's do that. Good Maytag's do that. That's blue cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
They do that as well. They'll even inject the icky stuff to grow inside the fromage.
Right. Okay, what I wanted to say earlier, stay with whole milk. Any other processing makes it less effective, and you drink twice as much.
Yeah.
What did you mean by less effective?
The craving. If let's say you like cookies and milk. Okay? If you're going to have cookies and milk, and that's a desire that you want to bring into your experience, do it with whole milk rather than this 0.5% or 2% or 1% or all this stuff, what they call blue milk.
Yeah.
You see, because it's the extra processing that they're doing, taking more and more and more out of the milk of what you want the milk for, makes it less and less and less, quenching your desire for having the milk the first time.
Okay, got it.
You see? If you're in such a position, if your dietary restrictions don't allow you to enjoy milk, then why in the world would you want to get a 0.5% of milk to be able to have the thing that you can't have for whatever restriction that you place on yourself?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. Is there
any... So we're not pushing against it at all. And those that have the disconnection of that intolerance don't always have to. They can take enough, if you can add some natural acidophilus in your system, it'll digest those, the active part of the lactose that is not digestible or cannot be easily broken down in your system.
Okay.
So you can balance it that way.
Yeah.
Also, some legumes are good at that, too. If you're able to break those down, those work as well. When you have an upset stomach sometimes, not like a sick stomach, but just like a, you know, something that needs soothing.
Yeah.
In the Old South, they use something called cornbread milk, which is corn pone, not a sweet cornbread, a real cornbread, a salty cornbread, and milk. And that seems to be very soothing because the cornmeal helps break down and divide those. So that's also effective as well. Sometimes if you're having a hard time getting it down, that's soothing, and it doesn't, you don't have lactose issues.
Okay.
That's amazing, even though you're eating cornbread and milk.
Right. Yeah, so it must be something in the, like you say, the grain or the legume.
The breaking it down.
Yeah.
And also, then you have whole butter. Which also is the part that would contain the lactose. And yet, if even the most lactose intolerant don't ever have issue with butter.
Right. Well, we can't make a best generalization like that. I'm sure someone...
We can.
Okay, you can. You go right ahead.
All right, because then you have to, if that be the case, then here's how that works. When you're dividing it up and you're having curds and whey, where is the lactose? It's not in the whey. It's in the curd. Correct?
Yes.
And the cream comes to the top. Well, when you divide the curd from the cream, where's the lactose? It's not in the curd. You see? Because that's the part you can't digest. So, but now we prefaced all this by saying that, you know, once you're weaned, you don't need milk anymore.
Yeah.
But if you want milk, that's how you do it. And if you have issue, that disconnection or intolerance, if you have less intolerance than you have a tolerance, then you can enjoy it different ways. And that becomes a whole other side. I'll tell you another one that's very interesting, too. Cultured buttermilk.
Right.
It's sometimes soothing because sometimes you have a craving for that. Ice creams and all those different things. You just want that for some reason. It's not a requirement. Just like Snicker bars. You can live your whole life without Snicker bars, but for some that just would be they would have hoped for so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy.
And is there a disconnection with lactose intolerance?
Well, not a disconnection, it's an intolerance.
Yeah, I know you'd say that.
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. And we move on to leukemia.
All righty. Mm-hmm. All leukemias. Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's something weird on the line.
Yeah, okay.
It clicks every once in a while. Are you moving, or what? Is there anything on your end?
No, actually, we came in, got real still under the fan, and just enjoying the sunset. So we've actually been really, really still, which is not so normal because we're normally all over the place. But anyway, okay, leukemia, okay? That is a one of your called cancers, but isn't it interesting? Leukemia isn't something that they consider a malignancy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
It
comes almost under the catacomb of a blood disorder.
Yeah.
Or disconnection. Mm-hmm. We've thoroughly, thoroughly covered that, so you need to do a link to get you back to there at that same place.
Mm-hmm.
But the short version of the whole process is the bone marrow, the meat of the matter, the marrow,
mm-hmm.
is what produces your red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, leukemia ends up in a position where the white blood cells start attacking the red blood cells,
mm-hmm.
to the point that it becomes a fight of the host and the which one belongs and which one is something that has to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And in that replacing process, even with pheresis and some of the other filtering processes that they've tried to work with,
mm-hmm.
it still puts the duplicator right back into the loop.
So what's the duplicator?
Interesting. When you have your whole plasma going through pheresis,
uh-huh.
where they remove the platelet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The platelets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Where they remove the platelets out of the whole plasma.
Yeah.
There is an aspect of the platelets that are the replicators of the leukemia cells that are fed from the bone marrow.
Okay, so you were saying there's an aspect of the platelets that is the replicator of the leukemia. That's interesting.
That feeds that replication. Okay, now, it's like toner. You know toner?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're making copies?
Yeah.
And you have toner that balances out the flow of what's being put on the paper and what's not?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not what does it, right? But
uh-huh.
it's an aspect that balances that whole process.
Right.
Okay. Wait a second. That sounds like children. The bird sings. Okay. Interesting. Well, okay. It sounds. Do you know if Alex is there? Well, that's what we heard just a moment ago. Okay. Good. That we think we got to the heart of the matter.
Okay.
Now, the marrow has to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it won't produce.
Right.
And that's why they irradiate you to kill the marrow and your immune system so that they can then do a replacement,
mm-hmm.
a bone marrow transplant,
mm-hmm.
with healthy cells that will make new toner,
mm-hmm.
copying cells of ones that are not breached by the attacking process.
Mm-hmm.
that make sense? And is that fluid enough?
Yes. Now, why do the platelets carry it and not some other component?
Because of the coagulant value of the white blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
It's just where it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a hemoglobin,
mm-hmm,
with contrast or comparative or genotype.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with a genotype?
Yes.
That's how they divide that process, and they always have to remove the platelets because they'll give you a false positive or a positive false.
Mm-hmm.
You see, then you get into a whole place where it's we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Gram positive or gram negative in the infection world.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those are also aspirations that if you include the platelets in a whole plasmapheresis process,
mm-hmm,
that's what you're going to run into. Now, that's not exactly apropos, but it's the example when you go, yes, that kind of thing.
Okay.
With the gram-positive, gram-negative.
Now, is this something that medicine knows? Because I don't really know that, but I'm not a leukemia specialist. But does anybody besides Ion know this?
They certainly should in the research, because otherwise that's how they come up with this leukodynia.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to the question is yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are they dabbling with it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we give. Call back. It's too clicky.
Okay.
In the process of that same aspirations of understanding of what you call a cancer of the blood,
mm-hmm,
always comes back to the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not talking about the organ. We're
mm-hmm
talking about the replication of cells that are off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a problem because everybody has the potential for it, please know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, it becomes almost looking for a reason, and we're not going to generalize anything to death here. But every single time, without fail or exception, cancer-related things are when you find yourself powerless in your human experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why they wage war against it.
Mm-hmm.
When they take their power back, then they're a survivor. I survived cancer.
Wow. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Now you're gonna do several. You're gonna do Hodgkin's. You're gonna do non-lymphoma Hodgkin's.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna do all these cancers, and they're gonna be about the same, just different places. But this has to do with tempering your copied. Well, this also does your T-cells, too, because your T-cells have a big effect on this, I expect, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're running genotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not talking about CBC. We're talking about real blood work, you know, where they actually do cultures and do blood gases and that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can get down to the grits and gravy of the whole process of what's being replicated.
Right.
But you put bad toner in, and you're going to copy, are going to get mixed up. The black and the white are going to get mixed up. The white and the red are going to get mixed up.
Yeah.
And then to the point where you can't tell the red from the white, well, then it becomes an infected thing, and the white then kills it off.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And there you go.
Yeah.
And you have no room for it, so then you lose your immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Immunity. Isn't that what the governor gives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, governor, you're in charge of your own immunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, immune deficiencies.
Good, yeah, and you gave me the reason and the disconnection, what total biology says about blood diseases and blood cancers is that it's a family thing. It's like the family is equivalent to blood, so if you've got a blood disease, then you've got a family issue.
Well, then it must be hereditary.
No.
Well, but you see,
in your mind, you know, it's a...
Well, fine, I understand, but see, that's the false premise. That's true sometimes, but you could be a loner that was adopted, and your adopted parent died, and on and on and on and on and on, and you wouldn't have any family to speak of, okay? And that just doesn't necessarily have to be the case. It can be.
Yeah, in an adopted person, that would be even more so, because they don't have any blood, so they pine for a blood relative, which can set up an imbalance.
Okay. We'll give it to you, but not much. Because it's more from a powerlessness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, the powerlessness works every single time.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yes, you could always dance around. You know, my mom wouldn't let me have ice cream, and I was lactose intolerant, and I was pushing against that whole process, and I was prone to heart disease, and I was a sickly child, and on and on and on, to the point where you can develop it. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, it was a good shot, though.
And, you know, someone who knows that information, a doctor who knows that information, sometimes, you know, sure, it's powerlessness in the family, perhaps. And
certainly, yes. And if that's the case, wherever the powerlessness is,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a reason, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Boy, I wish I had a better regard for your total biology.
You may get there.
Maybe. We're not pushing against it, though, because if it helps, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the dynamic of what it's based on, it misses. And when it misses, then it either works for everybody or it doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got 1,000 diseases and cancers, and they say that, you know, every time without fail or exception, that a disease is due to this thing. So, you know, they put themselves in a box of always having to prove that they're right.
Or vindicate their false premised position.
Right.
And
so,
that's where we won't play. We won't have it,
right.
Because you can't get there from now.
Right.
And if it doesn't work for everybody, then it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be dynamics, you see. Maybe dynamics that come into play that would vindicate that in that position, and fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okie dokie. Now I put in leaky gut. Do you want to go there, or are you okay with leaky gut?
Leaky gut's fine.
Okay.
Now you're talking about preparation of the bowel?
Well, what it is...
No, we know what it is, but we're asking, do you want to go that far? All the way?
Yeah, it's little...
Buckeyes and
micro...
bowel resections and all kinds of things?
No, it's mostly the micro punctures
the
of...
The lesions of...
Not even seen. Not even seen. Like,
yeah.
Microscopic.
Yeah.
Okay.
The connection between blood vessels and the small and large intestine,
mm-hmm.
and many times it's in those when it divides from small to large.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most critical point, because those are the parts that they take you in for GI series,
mm-hmm.
from stem to stern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do an upper GI, and you swallow, and they take the pictures, and then they see. Then they go from the other end in the colonoscopy, the 9 feet of colonoscopy runs and runs and runs.
Right.
And then there's parts, though, that they can't see.
Right.
They even have pill cams now that you swallow, and it records 20,000 pictures per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way through the whole process, and then you eliminate it just like you do all good cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're done. But that little picture, cameras, pill cams are taking it all the way through.
Yeah.
Now, you can have where those, that gut, bowel, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Once it comes into the place of digestion, and the most important part is absorbing nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's its really big thing, is the absorption process.
Right.
Because otherwise you could just get a real good colonoscopy and we won't have to have that discussion anymore. Right?
You mean a colectomy. Take it out.
Correct.
Right.
Oh, yes, yes. Colectomy, meaning that you wear the little bag. Take the pills that make
They'll be calling for that soon. Preventative.
Chlorophyll.
Preventative colectomy.
Yeah, exactly. And do it and have a prophylactic colectomy. There you go.
Right. So where were we?
Okay. We were coming to the place where the blood vessels feed the small and large intestine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how, when that bowel has to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
How long do you live? That's actually worse than heart failure.
Yes, true.
If a bowel's dead, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're waiting. You're dead. They're just waiting on a disease to claim the body.
Absolutely.
And now, all the way through that process, sometimes there can be micro-adhering tissue that invades at the points where blood is feeding the intestine. And those molecular perforations can allow, at a very, very, very small scale, enough of the stool and the developing stool to cause a leaking, to change the pH in the gut, and that will end up causing what you call a buckeye.
A what?
A buckeye.
Don't know that.
Well, it's a growth in the intestine that perforates and fills and feeds. Okay? And they can never find it because when they go in for your GI series and your test, then you have to be fasting and you have to drink all the stuff. And that can also cause a bleed.
Okay, now there's three things that I need to have clarification on. You said a micro-adhering tissue. What's that?
The tissue that allows the blood vessel to attach to the bowel to feed it.
Well, what is the tissue made of?
It's just the binding tissue of the way that the artery and the vein works to feed the intestine. Okay, take the intestine.
Is the tissue part of the intestine, or is it something extra?
It's something extra that allows the blood vessels to attach. Because if you have a brain...
Where did it come from?
Well, it's what allows blood vessels to bond to the intestine itself.
No, if it's not part of the intestine, it's something extra.
Well, it would be part of it, but it's not everywhere. It's only where the blood vessels attach to it.
Okay.
We'll do this. Let's do a bowel resection.
No, well, if it helps me, but if it distracts, then it's not going to work. Okay, go ahead.
You take the intestine and you've dumped it out in their on the outside of their body, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's the intestine is loops, or it's almost like rings around the intestine that squeeze and contract and move and digest and make let water flow into the bowel and take water out of the bowel.
I know. Yeah, I want you to hurry up on that because I have three questions and I'm getting like Bob here. I'm going to forget them if I don't.
Okay, well then we'll skip it. Go ahead.
Well, the micro-adhering tissue, what it sounds like, it's just areas in the bowel that have maybe thicker tissue that hold the plexus of veins and arteries and maybe nerves.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what that tissue is. No?
Yes, but it's type specific to where the veins and arteries are flowing through the intestine. If you take the cut intestine and you cut it in half, just like an umbilical cord and you whack it, you have the inside, then you have tissue around that, then you have the outside.
Right.
Okay, and the tissue that we're speaking about, it's between the outside and the inside.
Okay.
That tissue is predominant where the blood vessels are attached into that flowing process. That's where the nutrition is absorbed into the system is through this
Okay.
So call that what you want to.
So you're calling it micro-adhering tissue. Is that a medical name?
If it's not, it certainly should be.
Oh gosh. Now.
No. This would be fodder for a gastroenterologist who would do a resection, and that's the big part of doing a resection is getting everything hooked back together so that it can then heal.
Right.
Well, because of that break, they can have those breaks at any stage or point of the game,
right.
And those are the same places where then you would bleed into the stool.
Right. Okay.
Any breakdown in those tissues, that's where the bleed is going to be, and that's going to be where you have this preparation, small or large, but you're talking about the small kind, which sets up a degree of sepsis within the system.
Right.
It takes a very, very, very long time if it's at a macro level.
Right. Well, yes, this molecular preparation then, what is that referring to?
How your bowel reacts with the tissue for good, healthy blood flow of your digestion.
Hmm.
Is that not a right question? I mean, was that not a right answer?
Well, a molecular preparation just doesn't sound like anything that I know about.
Okay, then it's not.
Well, so you've got a micro-adhering tissue that invades at the point where blood is feeding the intestine. Okay.
The veins and the arteries, yes, because they have both.
So it just doesn't flow right to say that the micro-adhering tissue is invading. What's invading?
Invading means it's predominant. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know Ivy? Do you know Ivy?
Yeah.
The vine, ivy?
Yeah.
Okay. How does ivy attach to a tree that it's growing to?
It just grabs onto it.
How?
Little feelers and hairs.
It's got little feelers that are attached to the vine that attach to it, and it's also where it can draw water, nutrition from the root, hold on to, and adheres that vine to whatever it's growing on.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that controls the vascular system of the vine of ivy.
Right, right.
Okay? These tissues would be a parallel to the grabbing on parts that allow the gut to grab the veining system to feed the gut to keep it alive, the constant refreshing. This invading tissue, maybe invading isn't the right word, but it's prevailing or...
It's predominant, it works.
Found where those veins and the blood flow attaches to the bowel. Otherwise, the bowel will die.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't die, then you get like John Wayne, and you stop eliminating stool because it becomes less and less and less effective, and you end up with 40 or 50 pounds of stool that's not being eliminated through the body. Clogging up, as you call it.
Yeah.
And the squeezing process from the inside and the outside. And we're sorry we called the thing something that was not
yeah.
But it's that
rabbit hole. And then, I'm just saying that was a rabbit hole that got me distracted. It's true. So then when you say molecular preparation.
Forget that. Call it something else. Please make something that's not a disconnection. But that's what it is. If you're talking about a leaking, whatever.
Yeah, well, and then when you said, the Buckeye and the perforations, this is more of an infective leaky gut. What I was referring to is a leaky gut that's caused by yeast organisms or can be any sort of chemicals or toxicity that irritates the gut and allows molecules to be absorbed into the bloodstream. So it's not an infection process.
Other than sepsis.
It's not a sepsis, it's just incompletely digested food molecules that get absorbed through these, what they call micropunctures, from the mycelial yeast irritating the small gut wall. No?
Well,
it's what has, you know, is found.
So how do you correct that?
You stop feeding your yeast, you cut back on the chemicals you take, do whatever.
Gosh, that could become an impossible dream in a second, couldn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you could, Ion, I'd have felt so much better until I consumed that carbolic acid.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so
mm-hmm.
much better before I did that. And I was so happy and complete. And I don't know what I was thinking. But my doctor told me to cut back on my carbolic acid. But I just knew that carbolic acid, it's goodbye in any language, but I knew that if I consumed that it would finally balance my yeast production and the cilium and cilia that was affecting my digestion. Do you see? We can't get there. We would try, but we can't get there. This balance of the flora and the fauna includes yeast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but there's amounts of yeast, and there's types of yeast, and there's forms of yeast. If you have the right amount of the budding stage, then everything's hunky-dory. But if you take, supposedly, if you take antibiotics and eat a lot of sugar, then you form a mycelium tissue and basal form of yeast that they can measure.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that's one, like I said, the invading yeast supposedly poke little punctures and cause this leaky gut. And they measure that by giving people, radioactive this or that to see if a big molecule that's not supposed to get through the gut gets through the gut.
As an isotope.
Right.
So this is about yeast, not about leaky bowels.
Well, I mean, there's at least supposedly a dozen different things that cause leaky gut, but, yeast is, one of them. But you're not having it. Is that what
I'm
hearing?
We're not having it. Now, yes, it could be also just as easily a knitting needle can cause a leaky gut.
Yeah, but that's more in the sepsis line of things.
Well, but according to you, on the way the mycelium is created, yours is more fatal.
No, not at all.
You see what I mean, though? That's why we're going with that whole run of the dynamic. Anything can have that aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but not enough to be included other than a type of process, but it goes right back into this imbalance of this flora and fauna process. And if you have that imbalance, there's many other things that are going to get you before they find that.
Right.
So it's like if I didn't have this hangnail, then I wouldn't have this foot problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that could cause an infection. You can get gangrene and they can saw your foot off, and yes, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the dynamic of that whole process is they could just as easily jerk off the whole toenail and your foot would never notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if you let it go to a certain place or feed that process, then absolutely. But in the process of this whole yeast thing, it's just we would say flood the body with it. The way to control the yeast is to flood it.
Mm-hmm.
Put so much in there that it doesn't know the difference and it gets rid of everything that's not the new, fresh, wonderful, budding yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Because this individual outside oversighted committee that's going to control the flora and the thought of how the people's digestion works cannot be regulated because there aren't two that are the same. You see, some people can't have dairy. Some people can have dairy. Some people get violent when they're in a smoky room and they're serving shellfish. You see, so that dynamic becomes just very, 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 very huge. Basically, the symptomatic solution that is a disconnection that you're describing could be grown into a whole grown yeast growing, could be grown into a whole problem that would set up the schematic for the next pandemic.
So,
to absolutely attach it every single time in every single place where there's any other connection involved, it certainly could. We can't push against that because you're the creator. You can make it any way you want it. But my stars, maybe the yeast causes this invading tissue to turn loose from the bowel, which causes a lack of blood flow, which makes the bowel slowly die and leak and you bleed out or something. You know, I don't know. We're tongue-in-cheeking this a little bit because, yes, we vindicate and validate, but when you get down to the bare bones of it, it becomes a minute aspect of the whole process.
So, well, I mean, some people, and it's foremost in my mind because I talk to these clients who, you know, they have such vaginitis, you know, some of these women, they can't even sit down, or they have chronic diarrhea and constipation and, you know, dozens and dozens of symptoms from this yeast. So, you know, I don't need to tell them, well, just keep eating it and you'll either die or you'll get better. I mean, that just doesn't help me or them.
Okay. Then come back to the place of their disconnection of if we've jumped to yeast, which is a whole other topic. But the symptomatic problems of that, basically they could also dehydrate from a runny nose too, but it is major. We're not pushing against it at all. It's just that dynamic of the balances would correct their vaginitis, and it would correct their even degrees of flatulence, because the yeast is what also produces the gassiness too, which we dealt with as well. Different kind, but the same process, you see. So any balance, that balance is the most important thing, regardless of what you want to blame it with.
Right.
Is that
right.
The way to, that's easier, that's softer, that's softer.
Mm-hmm.
That's softer.
So, and yes, we have jumped to yeast, so just to continue that then, I mean...
Oh, let's just go to the next one and catch you catch why. That way you'll have a whole chance from the rest of this to why to catch that up.
Because
any other time that yeast comes up, which is the most every single time, it can then be attributed to that. But see, we digress.
Well, I mean, you may not... You, non-physical, I don't know, JW, may not believe in yeast, but it sounds just too much like the doctors who don't believe these patients that come to them just suffering.
Well, certainly. Well, what is a belief?
A thought that you've been thinking for a long time.
Yeah, indeed. And when they won't give you anything else to chew on, that's good as anything to chew on.
What? What is?
Yeast.
So yeah, but
the undermining of all.
Nobody's giving it to them to chew on. They just seem to develop it.
Well,
and they don't know the difference.
Well, indeed, but they understand their symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's called contrast. That they reach out and figure out that there's something in their system that's keeping an imbalance, regardless. But you can't eliminate yeast from the body.
No.
So you got two choices. You either embrace it, or you push against it. And if you push against it, then it just goes into a nanotechnology that it's just waiting in the next airborne thing that's going to wipe out the world as you know it. Or if not you, because you're the center of your world and your universe, and how you help someone in that aspect, if that's your question, how you help someone in that aspect or aspiration of understanding is to them come back to the place of centering, grounding their own beingness. Mm-hmm. And you go at it from that aspect, then the yeast isn't the problem. It's your balancing act that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you can come back to the place where you can then emotionally, now, I mean, much of it is emotion, but now we're not going to say this is the emotional doctrine, because then you're going to get back to your natural biology business, total biology stuff.
Yeah.
So we're not wrapping into that, but there are aspects of that that are apropos. See?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing with an allergy. Somebody was dying of allergies, okay? How we'd handle it is you got two choices. You either embrace it and add more of it to your system so you have a tolerance regarding it that you can live with, a balance. Or you get in a bubble and stay away from everything, and if that pleases you, because the bubble must be where you were heading anyway, or that wouldn't be your manifested reality.
But that's two major extremes there. There's got to be something in the middle. That's always going to be my point.
There is. And if the focus is always on this thing that you have to have in your system in order to survive, that you're going to push against, you can never win that battle. But if your work then becomes aligning with this wonderful yeast that's in your body and the balancing thereof of yourself that allows your body to naturally ingest all this stuff that make it live long, thrive, and prosper, then it doesn't become the focus of why the leaking of the bowel is your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to get us back there somehow. But
well, you think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Ion is mainly trying to keep making the point of you either embrace something or push against it, and some people are not going to do either.
Correct, and if they don't, then how is your work going to help them?
Well, I'm trying to be in the middle of that. I'm trying
to... If that's a balancer, the fulcrum, if that's what that is, then wonderful. But if it's to teach them how to not have the issue, this big nasty thing that nobody seems to understand, then for some that aren't going to have it anyway, just becomes the reason for their disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the whole push against them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you see what I mean. That's the part we're not having.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That feels good.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good. Because if you get back to the thing and you can have a someone that you trust helping you with your biological functions,
mm-hmm.
and you had confidence in their ability to look at the body and figure out what's going on and all these kind of things, and then you can align with that, then yes, that can be a wonderful thing, okay? You can trick them into thinking that they don't have any yeast, even though they do. There are still people who don't believe in gravity. There's people who believe that nobody went to the moon.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to trick them into anything.
Well, but if you could help them come to a place of alignment, then the all day, every day, the yeast won't be the issue that's driving the contrast.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It certainly can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
The experience, you see,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that was the deal breaker that was just hitting us on our ear.
What was that?
The yeast being the issue of having to deal with it in the degrees of separation regarding yeast and yeast byproducts and myceliums that are undoing your very vibrational molecular structure.
Okay. On to leg cramps.
Okay. What leg cramps are, some just like the very similar to your gout,
mm-hmm.
the circulation issues. Now, mm-hmm. let's go with the little fellas. Gosh, this doesn't have anything to do with yeast.
It could. We could bring it into it very easily. They don't call me the queen of candida for nothing.
Yes, ma'am. Mm. Okay, in the little fellas, okay, that you're playing, and have lots of exercise, and, you know, you're a little kid, and you're just wide open all day long, and you go to bed and your leg hurts, and it's just a shooting pain. Now, we're not talking about Charlie horses, because that's a little bit different, okay?
That's magnesium, my other favorite topic.
That is exactly correct. Now, we aren't nearly as pushing against your magnesium as we are the yeasty kind of world, but still, here's the old-timey leg cramps. It's when the circulation, the muscular exertion, is then when you slow that down, and normally like when you go to bed, then you have these, your legs are hurting, and they would call that what you call growing pains.
Right, right.
That's how they would describe them.
Right.
Now, you can go all the way into restless leg syndrome,
mm-hmm.
you see. But now, the typical easy way to adjust that is sometimes if you've been very, very active and that's your distress, because
mm-hmm.
it's not a disease, it's a distress,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes even contrast, especially in the hamstring and how the hamstring attaches,
uh-huh.
you have pretty good blood flow there. So it's rare that your hamstring will be all achy because that's what's going to jump into your Charlie horse.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually more feeding from the calf
mm-hmm.
and how all that comes back into the knee, disperses, and connects into that whole thing. Because it's never like, if you have that, it's not like in your ankle coming up, or it's not like in your calf going down, or in the top of your leg going over. It's like a whole leg is just kind of achy, 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 because it's not moving those extra buildups of the stuff in the veins that are causing the muscles to atrophy.
Not atrophy, no.
Then what's the right word?
It's a buildup of lactic acid that just creates acidity, and I mean the legs can become inflamed, but atrophy, they don't get smaller. The muscles don't get smaller.
Oh, but they pull because you're giving resistance to it because of the lactic acid that it won't move.
Mm-hmm.
So it
mm-hmm.
can't go that far,
mm-hmm.
which can, you know, that's why your folks that have these phantom pains that are in the wheelchairs as they are not using their legs for whatever reason, and they atrophy sometimes. They can
I was still focusing on the little kids having it.
Oh, yes, of course. But that contraction or the smallerness of that can be excruciating, and yes, it is due to the lactic acid buildup and the inability to flow. Sometimes if you can add some salt, like take a little bit of salt,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes helps with that moving of that lactic acid,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And we're sure there's probably a little magnesium in there.
Absolutely. That's where I would go first before.
No contest. But we're just saying the old timey, they didn't have a magnesium bottle. They always had a salt shaker, though.
Yeah, true. Well, they had Epsom salts, and that's what they could use.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why when you soak in the Epsom salts, it's so soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. And the Epsom salts bath is very soothing just because of that. Then it becomes transdermal because you can soak it through your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's very wonderful.
And the restless legs, is that just a variation of leg cramps?
It's a larger degree where you can't be still.
Uh-huh,
you just can't be still. And then what does that do? You know, it's the same like if you're a kid playing, then that lactic acid just kicks in and then it just becomes
mm-hmm.
a lot. See? And anytime that's mm-hmm. the case, then it'll pull all the way into your Charlie horse, of course, which is that seizing of a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That
is the ultimate of people disconnecting from everything that they think they're connected to in order to stop putting their attention on it. But it's pretty tough for...
Well, it's a balancing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get real good at it. You know, when you weigh dough to make each loaf of bread be the same, that works really great. But see, bakers that have been doing it for a very long time, they can just whack off the dough and feel of it, and they know just about, and then they can put it on, somebody else can put it on the scale, and it's amazing that it'll be within, you know, a tenth of an ounce off.
Right.
And they're just doing it by rote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just doing what's natural, the natural, flip, without any precision, but they become precise in their normalcy of, well, this is how much that is, boom, 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 and it works out, you see.
Right.
Same thing.
Do you want to go on to liver disease? Our hour is kind of up, but, you know, I'm happy to do another disease.
Liver is very, very big and significant.
Yeah.
Let's hold liver and start liver next and make sure we've cleaned up all these other things.
Okay.
If it's your pleasure, because the story, the prescribed inventory of the words are, once we go back through, they should be supplemental enough to balance some of the disconnection processes that we've experienced. But if there's no place, we're not saying that yeast thing is not just a great big thing, but we're just saying that if that becomes the focus of everything, then it's difficult. It makes it even more difficult, just as you said, to maintain any kind of semblance or balance. So maybe that's the softer way to sort of commandeer that.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, if I were to write in you know, your Medicine for Ion book that, well, just yeast, oh, that's, you know, just eat all you want or do all you want and just OD on it and, you know, doing the extremes that sometimes you, the way you talk, then that's just absolutely going to turn people off. They've tried so hard to get someone to listen to them that they need someone to agree with them. And then once you create that agreement, then they, in terms of how I deal with people anyway, is that they know you're listening to them. And then you say, but, you know, there's a normal level. You've got, you know, maybe you've got too much and maybe there's just a few things you can do to take care of it instead of creating, you know, making it a big war. But if you come at someone and say, you know, eat all the Snickers bars you want, there's sort of a over the top, you know, almost satirical aspect that people aren't going to get. I mean, when you went on that attack with Bob and said, eat all the bars you want, you'll be fine, or even with Steve, you know, whatever you, some people take words at face value and they think, oh, okay, fine. They don't know you're being satirical or you're wanting them to create an experiment, which I do with people all the time, is eat as much as you want and see how you feel. And then, you know, eat as much as you want for a couple of days of something that, you know, just to see, and then, or don't eat it for a week and then have a whole day of it and see how you feel so that your body understands the process. But
well, those are perfect words then. Then in that place where we, because the satire, which actually will do one of two things, it'll allow you to relax and balance, or it'll cause more contrast to where you'll choose not to imbibe in that experience.
Right, yeah.
So your words are perfect to help clean up that whole prospect, because we would never want to turn anybody in a position or a place where they were outside of their place of coming into their balance, you see.
Yeah.
But the whole trick of this point is that all of this stuff means not one lickety-blitz thing at all if you don't have the spark of the non-physical attaching to the physical that actually is the precipice, the beginning place of your ever coming into any kind of semblance of balance.
Okay. And that's perfect. So in the midst of telling someone about, you know, one or more of all these conditions,
yes,
how do you bring in the non-physical? How do you approach that in a physical complaint?
Yes. Well, first of all, the first order of business is to diminish the physical complaint.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you convert that physical complaint back into a disconnection from source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first layer. Now the next layer is, and once they get okay with that, Then you can come into a place where you get to redefine the wanting. Mm-hmm. Okay? I want to be happy. I want to play with my grandkids. I want to be able to go up and down the stairs. I worked all my life to pay for my house and my bedroom's upstairs, and now I can't get up and down the stairs, and I'm going to have to forfeit my house because I gave my whole life to have this house and pay for it, and now I'm in a position where I can't even get to it.
Mm-hmm.
See? It's the same with everything or anything becoming into a balance. So maybe the fastest path to their joy is getting one of those little stools that run up and down the steps, and you don't have to deal with that no more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a solution that can get a balance to get them back into a place where they're loving and enjoying this house that they've enjoyed all their life.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, or converting a den or an area downstairs to put the bedroom downstairs so you're actually closer to the facilities and you're okay, and then when guests come, they have upstairs and they can change their own sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Anything like that, if that aspect, the same thing is true with your leukemia, with your yeast, with your other magnesium issue. Well, not magnesium, we're not pushing against anything. But in that whole dynamic, it's anything that broadens their capacity for their own alignment is the perfect dimension or place to begin. Now, yes, when you ask the question, that's the answer. If you have allergies, and that's the same thing they put in those allergy shots that shoot you in. If it's pollen, get out and roll in it. Just cover yourself up in it. Just get it all over everything so far to the point that you will either realize that that's what it is, or you will build a tolerance to it because it will become the natural part of your new flora and fauna that's out. Flora and fauna. What is fauna?
Mm-hmm.
Flora and fauna.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a natural aspect that allows your body to naturally balance itself. But if you spend all day, every day, worrying about the fall of the year when the goldenrod's coming in, get ready because that will be your experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, in the natural production of yeast, okay, if that be the balancing act of the alignment part, you could be eat up with yeast and never even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Have no complaint, have no problem. Then you don't have to find the disconnected ones to listen to tell you about all their problems that you're supposed to engage them regarding. Now, I understand your compassion is ever enduring. No contest. That is your work. That is what you love. There's nothing that brings you more joy into bringing folks back into alignment,
mm-hmm.
which is what you do best of all. But to say that that's the reason why my existence is important on this planet comes into a whole nother issue of even a symbolized disconnection in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't say it was. I said a symbolized version of it. And that was the change. You remember when you changed in your medicine aspect of intending the clients that you wanted to come to you?
Mm-hmm.
And not just the ones that had two and a half feet in the grave?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you're supposed to straighten it all out?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When they'd already decided, and that was your client list, your base. So you really had to stay busy adding new clients, not because they were getting better and not coming back to see you, because they were croaking and moving on to better things anyway. That same intention is the intention that we're speaking of flooding the gates, okay, or stopping the dam. And it would be, we embrace the satirical side of those, of just the whole vernacular, just because it is many times that way, you see. That contrast will redefine it for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see? And then you reach out for connection. You don't reach out for help. You reach out for connection. And then when you reach out for connection, you get to redefine what really is important or not.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And then things that could be major, you know, if you get to a point where you're in a wheelchair because you have a charley horse so badly that you can't function and live, guess what? You very quickly realize that if a little bit of magnesium makes that where you can dance like a kid again, that's absolutely the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's marvelous. Or if you've got the candida so badly that you can't even get food to go down because it's all choked up with all this stuff, you know, hey, yeah, we're going to have to put some, get some good something. Or, well, now, this is where J.W.'s granny would say, you starve a cold and feed a fever, and then she'd tangle it around and go, no, it's the other way. And then she'd go, no, it's the other way. Or you never feed a tapeworm.
Well, supposedly the real saying is if you don't starve a cold, you'll end up feeding a fever.
Yes, okay. Very, very good. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then this is good. We're getting more clarification. And yeah, I mean, it is a process.
In this little section, you may pluck it out or apply it in different ways,
mm-hmm.
just so someone reading this work. Well, now, see, the other side of it is we're not changing our words. If nobody ever reads it, it's okay with us because we're doing it. But you're trying to reach out to the point where many people, or the most people, can come into a place of alignment.
Yeah.
And if this is a way of doing that, then absolutely. We wouldn't push it. We say all day, every day, we don't push against anything, so why is yeast any different than anything else?
Right, it's no different.
It's just the dynamic of being the reason for the disconnection. Now, it very well can be a degree of separation, but it doesn't have to be the one
mm-hmm.
degree of separation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. In the satire part, the words that you were using to smooth that are perfect words, so someone wouldn't be turned off by it, and they might spark something that they could dawn on them, that whole process that caused that anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when those folks that have this type of real issue in their experience, they go back, they can take you back to one point in time, many times, of a trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very interesting that they can get this one thing when a roof opened up and icky, nasty aspergillus, something fungus,
mm-hmm.
dumped on their body, and they've been ruined ever since, and
mm-hmm.
they're on 400 Chinese herbs, and they have to go this for detox, and they have to go that for this gets out of control, and it seals up their lung, the cilia in their lung, and then they can't breathe, and they have to go blah, you know, and you just go on and on and on, and instead of it coming into a place of joy and bliss, it becomes the reason why they get to complain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually by the time they get to me, they're tired of the disease, tired of complaining, and they're ready to get rid of it. So,
and that's contrasted, and therefore your words, your soothing words, which you're such a soother, Carolyn, you'll never know. People depend on your capacity for understanding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They absolutely do. And that's exactly correct. But in the larger, bigger acumen, then it comes into the, okay, well, so we have to pet this and pet that and take care of this and take care of that. When you can just go into the whole hog side of it and sort of basically you can debride it with a little sponge or a little bit of, you know, the sponge or the loaf of sponges, or you can just take 5 gallons of water and whoosh it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't let them wallow for more than about 10 minutes before I'm on to the next thing.
Sure.
But yeah, they really have to hear that you hear them, and then once they really know that, you're good.
Well, indeed, and it becomes wonderful. Mm-hmm. We want this to go the way you want it to go, obviously, and that's very, very apropos, because that's going to be the fulcrum of how others are going to be able to embrace it.
Right.
Or if they could push against it and say, well, forget all this crap, I'm just going to align with Source,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to become a seamless symbiote host relationship and get my mind hooked into this Godhead Trinity thing,
yeah.
that my kingdom could come, and then my will be done. It'll be on earth as it is in the heavens. Then guess what? They don't really care what kind of candida you're discussing.
Right. You know, you take someone like our number one client, Chad, who's all, you know, he's embraced it to the point of quitting his job and just going for it, and you know, the other day, JW, saying, did he really quit his job? Well, you know, that's what we're telling people to do.
Yeah. But then if you're seeking freedom, the only way to know that you're actually free is when you have the ability to decide what you desire.
Uh-huh.
You see? Because you're so free, you can choose bondage.
I know. Amazing. Okay,
so
sir.
Very, very, very wonderful. So yep. Good. So we're good?
We're good. We are good.
We're going to start with liver next.
Yeah, exciting. Okay, we're good at 3:28. I'll mark that time. Okay. Thank you, Ion. Until the next time, we shall meet again. Good, good, good.